Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Do we lose if Freddie or Jason wins? We're going to be asking this question a lot more in today's episode of Systematic Geekology. We are the Priest of the Geeks. I'm your host, Christian Ashley. Joined for the first time as a host, I get to officially introduce to you Dr. Leah Robinson. How's it going, Leah?
It's going well. It's going well. And thank you so much to all the geeks for allowing me to not only be a priest to the people, but a priest to the geeks now. I appreciate it.
Yeah. This is the last drive-in episode we're doing for the spooky season, so we also get to be the last ones to do that. Hit some milestones there together. So, Leah, today we're discussing, of course, you know, we've gone through multiple things. You got to do Aliens. I just did Godzilla versus Kong with TJ, but we're moving on to Freddy versus Jason. What better way to cap off this with one of the... not going to say greatest, but one of the crossovers of all time between the two. So you ready for this one?
I'm so ready. And I will say two of the most iconic. I mean,
yes,
maybe perhaps their crossover was not as iconic, but indeed them as separate entities. Let's be real. If you start naming horror film people, like Freddy and Jason are way up there.
Yeah, this was something that was kind of just kind of destined to happen in some way, shape or form. Is the final product the greatest? You know what? We'll talk about that, but we get to enjoy it. So, Leah, we have just watched this at the drive-in for the first time. What's your first reaction and the first thing you want to say after seeing this movie?
Well, I'm much kinder about this one than I was about the Aliens versus Predator, which I said I'll never get that hour and a half back. But the first thing that I'm going to say leaving the theater is, because of the last scene, which we'll talk about, I would turn to you and say, what did they expect to happen? They're both ghosts.
Right.
Like, who was going to win with two ghosts?
I mean, you've got your nightmare demon figure, your alp, you know, what have you, and Freddy. Then you've got your revenant zombie in Jason. You got to find some way for him to fight. And this is the best they threw out. My reaction to this is, okay, I'm glad I watched it.
Knock, knock, knock.
I think, I don't know how I would fix it. I've had years to think about that, but I haven't actually sat down and said how would I would do it. But you know what? It was fun. It was an okay time.
Money was not wasted. I saw it in the theater, actually, in college.
Ooh.
I paid money that I did not have to go see this film in college.
Very nice. Yeah. I got into this relatively not late, but growing up, guys, if you've been listening to the show, you probably have heard this already, but just for the new listeners, I was not a horror aficionado growing up. Got into horror in high school after years of being, let's say, a scaredy cat, very much so. And they finally just got to the point where I said, look, I'm done with this. I'm going to get into the genre. I'm going to force myself to love it. And you're right. I didn't have to force myself. It ended up being fun. So part of this growth was getting into both franchises. And I saw this probably on like an AMC or something like that when they were doing one of their marathons of the franchise. And you know what? I was happy with it.
Yeah. And I don't think all horror is for, like, I don't watch it all, like the gore porn stuff or invasion stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is completely outside the realm. The stuff that I do watch that actually scares me the most is what took me a long time to get into, which is like the poltergeist conjuring ghosty things. Like if there's like a ghosty or like the Babadook or something that's like hanging out in a corner somewhere, like that to me is terrifying. Give me a Jason who can't walk above 1 mile an hour, or Freddy who, you know, he seems really purposefully placed on Elm Street. So like, if I can geographically stay away from them via Camp Crystal Lake or Elm Street, I feel infinitely better about that situation. But
yeah, I get it. That's fair. Not every, you're not supposed to like everything. Yeah, it's fine. I'm not a big like super duper body horror. Not that it can't be in a film, but if it's like the main focus, I'm done. I'm also not big on rape and revenge horror films. That just unsettles me immensely. And I know it's an important subject matter to discuss. I'm not against discussing it. It's just, I don't want to see that on screen. And Same. Some of those go I way mean, too far. I think far. It's
like with the saws and all of that. Like, I don't.
Oh, yeah. The torture porn. No.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You I know, get
that's
it.
That's fine.
They're smart. They're chopping hands off. I don't care.
But like conversely, I can take a slasher. I can take, you know, some of the gruesome things that happen because, yeah, there's going to be some gory scenes depending on what franchise you're watching, but it's not like the main focus. So you can move on to something else.
Right. And it feels less, this just sounds weird. I haven't really thought about it. It feels less malicious. Mm. If it's like an alien or Jason or Freddy, like you're right. It's not just like perpetual, just gross for gross. Like they're gonna kill people. But you've almost prepared yourself for that. Like I feel like there's a rhythm to some of these like slasher films where you're like, okay. And even Jason, I told my podcast pal Christy this because she hates horror, and I'm like, look, you always know when Jason's about to kill somebody. He's got his own theme music. Mm-hmm. Like if you hear that in the background, just fast forward. Like they're warning you it's about to happen.
Yeah. So what do you say? Why don't we break down the film? What happens in Freddy versus Jason?
Well, it was very much, it feels like a fever dream with some of these crossovers, like when you describe the plot. So I was describing the plot to Alien versus Predator. And at one stage I just started laughing because I was like, this sounds so insane.
Because it is.
I was like, Antarctica for reasons. Anyway, so Freddy Freddy versus Jason essentially, I rewatched it fairly recently, I think last year, but I reviewed it. But essentially they have to make a world where both of them exist. And I sort of looked at the timeline, and I think at this stage we're very much in, at least and the timelines for Freddy and Jason are far less congruent than even Alien. But I think Jason's gone to hell at this stage.
Yes. He's also gone to space. I think I'm pretty sure that happened before this one.
It's so insane. Okay, so Jason's in hell. So Freddy is essentially, part of Freddy's power comes from people being afraid of him. And that's very much established in the movies. And so he is basically Elm Street in this area where he terrorized, has essentially taken anyone who had ever encountered Freddy and put them in this sort of, I guess, an insane asylum and pumped them full of this drug where they basically wouldn't, I guess they'd have sleep, dreamless sleep. So they couldn't, or that kind of thing. So they're trying to wipe out the memory of him. Yes. Essentially, because they figured this all. You know, he's not into that. He wants his power back. So he decides to resurrect Jason hell. It's a lot of theological mind turns that we're doing here. And to bring him back so that Freddy can essentially gain back power through fear that Jason would enact. And again, you can correct me. It's been a minute. But so Jason, this is going to come as a shock to no one. Jason does, in fact, get brought back to Earth, and he doesn't do what Freddy tells him to do.
Imagine that.
Because he's Jason. Now he does start terrorizing people. There's a real scary sort of scene of him in a cornfield at this like party, outside party, and he's going nuts to all these like high school kids. So essentially,
tech.
Jason is like out of control, and he thinks if he can get him back to Camp Crystal Lake, that there's some way that he can sort of, I guess, drag him back to hell, to use another horror film. And so he takes him to Camp Crystal Lake. And I should say, alongside of this, of course, there's a merry band of people that are trying to stay alive, and Freddy's terrorizing them and Jason's terrorizing them, and they're trying to figure all of this out. They go to the insane asylum to get the serum, and Freddy destroys it, and et cetera, et cetera. So it all culminates at Camp Crystal Lake, where there is a final boss battle between Freddy and Jason. And I don't know if you want me to say the end, but I can't.
It's been out for over 20 years.
Okay.
Spoiler
alert, there are two ghosts. They do this battle, and it's very like battle-rific and very satisfying in a sense. And they fall in the water because Jason's deathly afraid of the water because of drowning, actually, as a child. And essentially, Freddy gets like his hand cut off, and like Jason's using the hand to like get Freddy. And then the end sort of scene is Jason coming out of the water with Freddy's head. And then you're like, oh, so Jason won. Like, well done. Home turf advantage. But Freddy winks at the camera at the end. And
yeah,
that's the end.
And well said, by the way. In one proposed ending, they would have been drawn back down to hell, and Pinhead would have been there from the Hellraiser films. And that's another film franchise I'm not into. It just doesn't work for me. But you know what? If they had wanted to do that, sure. But that's not what we got.
I've only seen the first one, and it would have been like a decade ago. It didn't make an impression, but like just because this film is clearly fan service, which is a lot of
film.
But like just to even have the figure of Pinhead down there, I think would like make the horror people be excited.
Yeah, there were also plans to include the Necronomicon, obviously from Evil Dead.
Yeah.
I don't think rights weren't established to be able to do it or something like that. So this is what we got. So before we actually head that way, let's talk about what we love and what we don't love about the movie. Why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love both those franchises, like Nightmare on, I'm big into the slasher films. Like Scream is my all-time favorite, as I've said before. Mm. So these films are like, to me, they in Halloween, I watch every single Halloween. There's something about those films that hit a nostalgia for me, which we probably need to go to therapy about that, but they do. And they're, I find them easy to watch, like, because their lore is not that complicated. Like, it's not necessarily like, you know, you don't have to think too hard about it. And like, at the same time, you can be very scared, which is fun too, because most of the kills are fairly predictable. Like, there's still elements of like, will they get away? Well, won't they? You know, that kind of thing. So I like the two genres. They redid Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know if you saw the remake that they did.
Yes, with Haley as Freddy or whatever his name is.
Yeah, it wasn't Jason England, I don't think,
Robert England.
Robert England, that's right.
He's a three-name actor, whatever his name is, like Jackie or Haley or something like that. I can't remember.
But they redid it, and essentially I'm going to call it the Ridley Scott makeover. They really tried to give Freddy like story, because you get it sprinkled in that he's done throughout the original.
It's implied
that they
said it quite out loud.
Right. I mean, there's like little kids stuff in his, and he's been burnt alive, and it's there's a lot of like hinting that he has done something very nefarious to young children, and that the townspeople like rebelled against that. These original movies really are those. The new movies really tried to really explain the lore. Like, they made him like a janitor. Like, they brought it all out, like did all of the stuff. And so I think they were good. I liked them, but I don't necessarily think they were necessary, like in a sense. Mm-hmm. But I liked the aliens having the Ridley Scott effect of getting that background. Like Jason, you never really get that. He just drowns because his camp counselors were having sex and drinking. And then, you know, he's now been on this revenge tour ever since. I don't know that there's much more to it than that.
He like, I mean, it was his mom in the first film. He doesn't get the mask until the third film. He just, whatever serves the plot, that's what Jason is.
He's a slow mover. You can usually, the problem is when you, this sounds ridiculous, but the problem is when you stop to drink or have sex, you see your body quits moving in a forward motion, unless you're just a very active drinker, like a jogger while you drink. Because you really just need to have a solid pace to get away. Just a solid forward pace. But he always gets them, you know, because they, I imagine them being like, well, there's a killer here, but you're attractive and there's beer. So we're going to have to stop and take a break, you know.
And make poor decisions.
And make poor choices. And that, of course, is where you get the rules, which I always love from Scream, is whenever he's saying, there's rules, you know, there's rules. Like, these are the rules to stay alive. And one of them is you don't drink and you don't have sex. And I love that is because they're, I mean, they're fun. Don't say I'll be right back because you won't, you know, but those first two are very much akin to these genres where it just seems like that there's some sort of moral agenda happening underneath as well. But yeah, so I think they're just fun, nostalgic films, and they don't require a lot of like in-depth, which for me is weird because usually I'm like, I want the in-depth, I want the history. I don't need it. Jason can just be Jason.
Yeah, like, sometimes that's fine.
It's okay.
I prefer my absolutes. I prefer my backstories and everything. But you know what? I don't need to know where the Joker came from. I don't need to know why Jason can come back to life after being beheaded in the last film that happened. You know what? It's fine. I want to see Jason killing people. You know, I want to see the Joker missing people.
There's a comfort to knowing that they'll always be back. Like,
yes.
Weird. There's a weird comfort, but it's like, so the kind of anxiety that I have right now with my slasher films is with Halloween, because Jamie Lee Curtis is a person who we can see getting older, and they've established Mike Myers is not supernatural, like at least in the canon today.
And the newest ones, yes.
Yeah, but even in the older ones, I mean, he can get stabbed a lot of times, but like he was that human child that got older. But the issue is that he's old now. Like, so I am very interested in how they're going to, because there's no way they're going to let go of that genre, but it'll be interesting.
No.
See what they do.
There'll be another reboot, another remake along the way, and they'll probably just have to start over instead of doing it in the 70s, or maybe they could just do that there and make a franchise from that point, or just do it in a present. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just works. They'll find a way to make money.
Oh, yeah. And I'll find a way to watch it.
So, is there anything in particular you're not big on in the film?
I have always liked Jason more than Freddy. Freddy always kind of was a bit too, like,
bombastic. This is from
someone who loves Rocky Horror Picture Show. It was a little too over the top for me. Like, he's like, jokes, jokes, jokes. And then,
let me call you a female doll.
Right? I like the premise of having to fall asleep, because I think there is that thing that you can't prevent it, and all the ways they try to prevent it. Is very scary, and that you're so vulnerable when you sleep, I think is really interesting. But every time the Freddy scenes would come on, I would find myself a little less interested in it. Because it's almost, I think I said in the first one, she like befriends the Predator in Alien versus Predator, and there's something about that means that the Predator is not as scary anymore. Because, like, all of a sudden he's, like, helping you, or they are helping you. And I think it's with Freddy is, it's not like Freddy's your friend, but, like, Jason doesn't talk. Like, Jason's just, like, killing, and there's no motivation. There's no, like, here's my plan. It's just, like, you get in my way, you're getting mowed down, you know?
Yes.
And I feel like with Freddy, it's just a little too, like, I don't need you to. I feel like I'm a creep on a date right now, but I don't need you to talk. Like, just do your thing, you know, like, go on. But yeah, so I think with Freddy, it's just a little too cheese for me, but still scary. The premise is still scary. What about you?
That's That's fine. Yeah. As far as what I would personally be more afraid of, yeah, I'd be afraid of Freddy more. Even as someone who doesn't remember his dreams, if he dreams at all, I assume I do. I just don't, when I wake up, recall them. That doesn't mean that I have some superpower against him. He probably could use that against me in some way, maybe even activate my REM sleep. And that's terrifying because you are helpless, because your body for normal people are about 8 hours. Other people are less, like me. But for that amount of time, you're helpless. You have no defenses. You can't do anything. And God forbid someone have sleep paralysis, which thank God I have never had. But I have heard horror stories from people who have. But you're awake, but you can't move your body. So you're completely and utterly helpless. And you're aware that you're helpless. Like, that's something that Freddy could take advantage of.
And you can't wake yourself up, which is right. They're always trying to wake themselves up.
Like, I don't have that superpower. I can't lucid dream. I'd have to be able to remember I dreamed in the first place to do that. And then, as opposed to Jason, yeah, he's a hulking, menacing figure, and he's going to keep coming back no matter how many times you kill him. That's scary, but there's a difference. But as far as like whose side I'm on, yeah, I'm on Jason's side, you know, compared to the, in this part of the franchise, alleged pedophile, then in the remake, actual physical pedophile. And well, he's not really great in this film either, as far as how he treats young teenagers, shall we say. So yeah, I guess if my choice is an undead abomination or the pedophilic dream murderer, I guess I'm with the undead abomination.
You know, I think that's a good summary of it, to be fair. I think that's maybe what clouds my judgment too of the cheesiness. I'm like, you have no right to be cheesy. You were bad, bad. At least Jason just drowned. He didn't want to. I mean, yeah.
But as far as like things that I like, I mean, for what they're doing, it's fine. Of bringing the two together, the idea of, hey, we know how Freddy works. He's essentially become this tulpa, and the more do you believe in it, the more power he has. So let's remove that. And we can get into the ethics of that in a bit. But that's a smart decision, at least the idea of it. Then of course, Freddy being Freddy, he has to find a way to come back. So what does he do? Well, we're in a crossover franchise now. We're going to bring Jason into it. And he starts slaughtering people because that's what Jason does. And he tries to manipulate him by being Pamela Voorhees, pretending to be her. Uh-huh. But that can only go so far. And that's true because in other films, some women have pretended to be her, and it's only led to so far what they could do to manipulate him. So yeah, that works for me. But as far as not liking, this is kind of a criticism of slashers in general, outside of, you know, franchises like Scream for the most part that do well. I don't know who these people are. I couldn't name a single one of them. I think the final girl is Lori.
Yeah, I think it was a shout out to Laurie Strode a little bit. It was something, or Lauren or something like that.
And I just rewatched the film not that long ago, and I don't have the best memory in the world to begin with, but slashers don't really help because they don't really give them personality. They kind of exist to die.
They do.
Or some to survive eventually. So that's kind of where I'm at. So this has been something that kind of was built up after 20 or so years of both franchises being along. Both of them, Nightmare at this point in time, had slightly less staying power than Friday the 13th. But at the same time, Friday the 13th, the franchise was dying to an extent, you know, with going to different media companies in charge and diminishing returns in the box office. So they decided, what did they do? Crossover, have them fight each other. The fans have wanted it because what do fans do? They like comparing and contrasting and saying who would win in a fight.
Yeah.
So let's throw it on film. So like to you, Leah, does this film live up to the hype of crossing the franchises?
I don't think so. I don't think that it does. But here's the reason why. The film itself operates in much the same. I'm actually going to feed off of your ideas because I think what you said is a real key bit of why I don't love it at like the level I should because of loving these two genres or these two fandoms. You need a Eleanor Ripley. You need a Laurie Strode. You need you need someone that you can root for that transcends each. You need a Neve Campbell. Like, do you notice when they're not in a film, which is why they always bring them back? Neve Campbell took out, like, was it not in there for like three movies because the pay, and now they're bringing her back because they are like, we need someone to root for. And I think that's the thing is, like, I remember Kelly Rowland was in that film of Destiny's Child fame. She dies eventually. Yes. She's not the last girl, but like, that's who I remember out of all of them. And I only remember it because she was in a girl band. Like, that tells you something. Like, you're supposed to be rooting for these people. And instead, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, well, I wonder which one of these idiots is going to die next. And I think part of the slasher thing is you're supposed to root for humanity. And I found in this film, I just was like, I don't care what happens to you. Even in Nightmare on Elm Street, you had, and I don't have her name, but the curly-headed 80s girl, she was in quite a few of them, I think. Wasn't she in the beginning? I can't
think remember. So.
And then Jason, you don't really have a comp. Kevin Bacon dies real quick. Because guess what he did? He stopped moving. He quit moving for reasons. But so I think that's why it doesn't live up, is that I'm now reflecting, as you were talking about the ones that I really like, which is where it doesn't even have to be the last girl, but it's the last, you know, in Scream, you have a cluster of them that survive. You know, you get Courtney Cox, you get David Arquette, you get several of them that keep going, and you keep rooting for them because they keep coming back and you're like, yes, you know, please survive. So I think that you've got to have some of that. And I don't think it had that. So the investment in the humans was at a minimum for me. So I think that hurt it a little bit.
Yeah. Part of what you said reminded me of a phrase I'd read on TV Tropes, and don't go there if you don't want to ruin your life. But it's a coin, a phrase coined by, I believe she's a sci-fi author, Dorothy Jones Haidt, H-E-Y-D-T. How the heck you pronounce that? Sorry if you're listening. And the phrase she said are the 8 deadly words. Mm. I don't care what happens to these people.
Oh, no.
And she is in, like, discussing, like, watching a film or reading a book, and you're going, I don't care what happens to these people. It's kind of like the death of your interest in something. What you're watching, reading, what have you, playing. And that's very condemning. And I think this is a condemnation you can definitely throw at this film, and I'm right there with you. It doesn't live up to the hype because we have in the first film, was it Alice is the First Final Girl? Or I can't remember from Friday. I'm bad at proper nouns now that I'm getting older.
Oh, yeah, there's the girl. She gets on the boat, but she does survive. Yes.
There's something to her that when she's brought back into the second film and what happens to her there when Jason comes to kill her, like, you feel a little something. And then Nancy. Nightmare.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Okay. You feel something for her and her group of friends. And, you know, when Johnny Depp, I assume he had a character name, when he dies, that you feel a little something because of her reaction to it, because you care about what happens to her. But we don't have that in this film. I'm not saying they're complete and utter just cardboard cutouts with no substance at all to them. But this is definitely first draft as far as making me care. And I would agree. I don't care what happens to these people. And that's,
I think, bad. They leaned into the fact that we watch the slashers for the murderous villains, which we do to an extent. But you have to have some sort of reason why it's important that they're killing. You know, there has to be some sort of concern that draws you in and says, oh, my God, there's a risk here. You know, and I think for them, they spent most of their budget on these two monsters and maybe not enough on casting people that we would be like, or they just assumed we wouldn't, you know, that would be enough. And I think they underestimated the audience in that sense of, like, you know, there has to be consequences for us to be invested in this.
I agree. But, like, I'm still happy, ultimately, with what happens here, in that, you know, they fight. That is part, I do want to just see them fight and turn my brain off and watch them fight. Yeah, that's fine. It doesn't have to be the whole film. I don't want to turn my brain off for the entire film, but for what's going on there, sure. Yeah, I want to care about the characters and them dying. I should feel something when they die. But when I see Jason and Freddy fighting on each other, you know what I feel? Happy, joyful, because I've wanted to see this. That isn't handled the best? No. but it's good enough for where I don't feel like this is a total failure of a film, but it's never going to enter my top 500 or whatever horror films I've ever watched.
And they save it pretty late for that fight, and it's not very long. Like, it's a it's fairly brief, because I don't think they fight up until the very end, right? From what I remember?
Yes. I want to say that's right, because it's more like Freddy getting frustrated and then him fighting against the kids more.
Yeah.
And Jason just being the relentless sociopathic monster that he is, just chopping and slicing as he does best. And then eventually they fight when they bring them
in. I think it was when they were able to somehow knock out Jason with sedatives, even though
something
Jason
like that.
Is a ghost.
Well, he's more the idea of the classical revenant in that he came back to life. It's a zombie who doesn't go after brains, who probably has some purpose in life that once in the classical English mythology would be if, when they fulfill that purpose, they're going to pass on for good. But we got money to make, so Jason can't do that.
No. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's anthropomorphic. Like, he's got a body. Like, they've.
Yeah.
Freddy's brought him back as a body, but he can apparently get knocked out unconscious. But I think that he'll always come back. I mean, that's because he is a ghostie in that sense. But I mean, yeah, I think it was like I watched it and I left and I was thoroughly entertained. Like, but I will say I'm a fan. Like, my husband is a Star Wars guy, Disney could take a poop on a platter and put a Star Wars flag in it and hand it to him. And he would say, yes, I can't wait to consume. That sounds gross, but I can't wait to have this.
It's a fitting analogy.
I needed a different one. But I do think that's me with horror stuff is like, I will go, unless it falls in those categories we discussed earlier, I'm going to consume the ever-living heck out of it. So, like, and I'm probably going to enjoy myself. So I think they're really playing into that group, basically. We're like the Star Wars folk, but for scary.
Yeah. I mean, to an extent, I'm kind of both. I'm not big on a sequel trilogy, but that's its own separate issue. And people have heard me complain about that for a while, so I'm not going to bore them again. They knew people were going to be in the seats, just premise alone. No trailer was ever going to convince them. They knew it existed, therefore they were going to be there. So I think there was a bit of laziness that came with that as far as script writing and everything, and a desire to make money off the, off the beat. And rather than waiting a couple of years, now that we know we have a tight script and a tight group of actors to work around this. But you know what? This is what they chose to release. This is what we have. There hasn't been a second one made. This is what we have.
And I went to go see it in the theater. I went to go see it in the theater. And much like the Star Wars peeps is that, you know what? They probably didn't have to tighten the script or do extensive. Because I bet the same people who went to go see it are the same people that would have gone to see it otherwise. Like, now, would it have hit like a cult classic if they'd done better with it? Maybe. But like the money at the box office, I think, would have stayed the same. Like, because I think the people who are going, the people like me were going to go, like,
regardless,
with low expectations, to be fair. I mean, Jason did go to space. So,
and you know what? You know why they call it Jason X?
I don't. Was it the Millennium or something? Or
because it's 10 out of 10, baby. One of the greatest movies of all time. It's so stupid.
I don't know that I've seen Jason X.
Okay. Well, we may have to do that later on then.
Does he become an MMA fighter? Like, what's this? He's been to space and he's been to hell. He's really a world traveler.
He's a Renaissance man.
He truly is. He
doesn't not talk bad that for much, some podunk right? kid from New Jersey.
I love that they placed it as New Jersey, because that was something I thought was funny. Because was it placed in the previous films? Of course, I haven't gone back to watch them. But they were just very
when. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm fairly certain it's fairly early on in Friday the 13th. They say it's in New Jersey, at least by the time of Takes Manhattan, because somehow there's a cruise ship that goes from Camp Crystal Lake to Manhattan, where they spend 10 minutes in New York.
See, they were like, you know what? We're getting him a passport. Like, we need to get him out of Camp Crystal Lake. And by passport, I mean being able to leave the campgrounds. And he really got to go.
Yeah. Is that world traveler, Renaissance man, Jason Voorhees? You can't say that about Freddy.
What's the what's the poster that had the snake coming through the mask? Was that Freddy Goes to Hell or was that X? I can't remember.
I want to say that was Hell. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, there. Here's the thing. If you're buy into the genre, they are like delightfully entertaining films. And I think that's the thing is like, honestly, it's they are how I viewed Alien prior to Ridley Scott, like make it doing the prequels and now Alien Earth, which is just taking it in a totally different direction, which I think we're doing an Alien Earth thing at some stage. But yeah, I think it's taking that franchise in a more like I would almost say classical sci-fi realm, like the Star Wars thing. It's trying to make it sort of more intellectual and have a history. Whereas like I don't think that really exists for at least for Jason. I think they tried it with Friday the 13th, but
it's a different film. It's a very fun film. Like I said, I say 10 out of 10, not ironically. I do believe it's a 10 out of 10 film, not for the reasons they want it to be. But that's when we talk about that later on, since we did bring it up earlier, because it kind of answered some of the other ones I had. So in your synopsis, you mentioned the idea of how they repressed knowledge of Freddy was to kind of like put people under in this state of not being able to dream and making sure only a finite amount of people knew who Freddy was in order to prevent him from like feeding off of them. So like, is this a good strategy of well-intentioned extremism or naive optimism? Where do you kind of fall into this?
Oh, like the moral dilemma of sedating people so they don't dream. Well, they sort of kidnapped them, didn't they? I mean, have you watched any of American Horror Story, the Asylum season?
Which that was early on, right? I want to say yes.
Yeah. Yes. Sarah Paulson. Yeah. Where she sort of tries to infiltrate the asylum and as a reporter to like talk
about. Kind of
about
a Nellie Bly. Yeah.
That's right. But then they won't let her out and they do like terrible things to her. I have ever since then, I've had this fear, and my fears watching horror are very strange. But a fear that I have is that I'm going to go away to something like that and I'm going to tell everyone I'm not crazy and that they're going to say you're crazy and then just like lobotomize the heck out of me. And like there's something pleading a case and saying I'm not crazy. So I think
not being believed.
Not being believed. And so clearly these people in this institution, I'm telling you like there was, but how do you explain that? And I think that like, how do you explain that there was a guy with knives on his fingers that came and like killed people? People will be like, oh, okay, cool. So I think there's a real idea here of how we listen to people and like how we deal with now their intentions were overreach. Clearly. I mean, you can't just like, when someone's like stirring stuff up or protesting, I mean, hello, the frog in Portland. You can't just, you know, take them out and say like, you know, sweep it under the carpet. So I think that their intentions were bad. Like, I don't think that it was the way to go about it. Like it was instead of like facing your problem head on, it was essentially saying, you know, we're just going to sweep you under the carpet. We're going to put you in this asylum and no one's going to believe you because you're talking about knife finger guy. And that's a one way ticket to never getting out. And then we're just going to sedate you forever. Now I am someone who is a strong advocate of mental health care in all of its forms. So one of the things that I will say I was pro in this film is giving people that medicine, like instead of taking them off to the asylum, maybe just like let them have the medicine. This is maybe my universal health care bed. I did live in Scotland. Just let the whole of Elm Street have access to the medicine. Make it a part of your daily life. Like, I have dreams. I do remember my dreams. I wish 80% of the time I didn't. So if you were like, hey, girl, you'll still get that REM sleep and you don't have to worry about that anymore, I'd be like, sign me up.
Okay.
So the ethics of taking someone and putting them away forever and not listening to them is, to me, was not the answer. I think understanding that this is the way to keep him away in a way that didn't involve that via the medicine is probably a more ethical way, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would define this as not causing a greater good. Devil's advocate, put myself in their position for the sake of argument. Mm-hmm. You are dealing with a being that by his very nature, if you mention him to other people, you've infected someone else with the knowledge. So how do you stop that from spreading, especially when you get cases of people dying in their sleep in unnatural ways? Well, you can only have a gag on the media for so long before that goes elsewhere. And more people learn that kind of question. Why is it only here in Elm Street? Well, or in this town, why is it only happening there? So assuming they have tried literally everything else, which I don't think that they did, let me say that, it makes a logical sense, not the best logical sense, but it makes a logical sense of let's limit the number of people. Yes, this is a very reprehensible thing. Let's put them under where they can be asleep, get the full effects of it, but not trigger Freddy's ability to go into their minds. I get it. I'm not for it, but I get it.
Yeah. I mean, what you're saying, because you're right, the knowledge doesn't go away. It's just the vessel to which he accesses you, you can prevent if you have this medicine. But, and then there's like little kids, like, are they going to take the medicine? Like, are you going to make that? Like, you know, there's a lot of regulation that would have to take place. But it does remind me of had a PhD student in Scotland once that researched, they used to, when women would get pregnant, like in the 1800s, they would send them to these basically places where they want to sweep you under the rug. Like you can have your baby, like, but you live there, you work there, we'll take, but then you are never seen by society ever again. So it was giving me like very much that vibe of like, this is the answer, is just to make sure we don't kill them, because it's not genocidal, but it's like, we're going to like make sure it seem like they never existed. But you're quite right. The practical part of me says, what are the other options? You know, like, because at one stage you had like a dad lying to his daughter about the mom's murder, because it was actually Freddy that did it. And it's like, so these are the extremes these people are doing to like not talk about it. But that's what makes Freddy so tricky, is like, he's a tricky villain in that sense. Like, they had to send Jason to space to get his ass off the ground and out of Camp Crystal Lake. Like, he's, you know, they had to make him scared. Freddy is so squirmy. Like, you know, he's thinking through it. And like, so I don't know. You're right. I don't know. You could solve the sleep problem or you can solve the memory problem. Like, and in that sense, I guess they did both. But, you know, it's sort of the ethical argument, the utilitarian is the, you know, the greatest good for the greatest number, is even if it's really bad, you know.
Yeah.
Is that what they did? Like the train track thing. You've got four people or two people. Which way do you go?
And we don't know what else they attempted, because it doesn't really choose to focus on that. I don't think they cared about it as much as we do right now. They're just trying to make money.
We've gone more in depth in this movie than they did in the scriptwriter's room, to be fair.
But assuming that they had done literally everything else, I get that this is where they ended up at. I'm still not big on it, but I, once again, I get it.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't know what the answer about the memory thing would be, like how you would prevent people although, you know, there's certain things that you and I don't say or talk about that we were taught as young people not to. They could maybe, like, there's certain words we don't say as a rule. And I think maybe you could really ingrain in the children that this was one of those words. But you're right. I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, because essentially it's a super spreader event. If you have a situation like that, don't say this. Well, now they know the name. So even if they're not supposed to say it, they know the name and they may know a little history about it. So is it a way of suppressing it? Would that work? Or you want to risk that? Like, who knows? Once again, they don't care. But what fans
the little kids have the
nursery rhyme. Yeah.
They learn it as a nursery rhyme. Freddy's gonna get you. It's like, okay, cool. So much for nipping that in the bud.
All right. It's time to wrap the sucker up. Rating and reviewing out of 10. What do you think? Freddy versus Jason.
For me as a fan, I would say a solid like 7.6, 7, okay. 6.5, 7. Yeah. I'd watch it again and I wouldn't feel sad about it.
Yeah. I'm going 5.5, and that's not to say this is a terrible, reprehensible movie. Like 5 is like kind of the middle of the road for me. Like there's nothing offensive in it that I'd never consider watching it again. If you threw it on a screen, yeah, I'd watch the movie again. But there's a lot of potential it has, a lot of questions it could have considered that it didn't because of rushing things and getting things done for Hollywood reasons that just don't work for me at the end. I have fun with this movie. It could be better. Yes. I want better for
my babies, Jason and Freddy. They deserve more justice for yes. Hashtag justice for Freddy and Jason.
All right. So you've answered this question before. So we'll just open up the wide world here. What would you design if you were in charge of making Halloween treats for the drive-in? Could be related to this movie, could be in general. What are you thinking, Leah?
I did look at this and I thought the thing that I love most at Halloween in terms of a treat is a caramel apple, but I hate everything it does to my teeth because they are difficult in general. And they made the like lollipops still problematic for someone who has any kind of like cavity coverings. So what I would want to do is to somehow capture, and I was thinking this because my husband watches a lot of like baking shows and know that I don't do that. But I was thinking like maybe do like a bag, like a popcorn bag, chop up the apples and then like pour like some caramel like sprinkles over it. So it's not quite so like intense or maybe, you know, and then have yourself a little caramel apple bag. And this has probably already been done.
I mean, but nothing's new under the sun.
Nothing new is under the sun, but that would be my drive-in treat, and I would just eat the heck out of that.
There you go. I went more thinking of this film in particular, like if we were doing promotional items for it. I'm going to go either a licorice or a cowtail gauntlet for Freddy. You can have it, eat it off of there, and then, I don't know, maybe like a chocolate machete for Jason or chocolate hockey mask something like that
we do like a hockey mask like bowl.
Ooh, yeah, so we had a lot of fun with this one. We love doing our drive-ins, so guys, thank you much for all that you do. Please, if you get a chance, leave a 5-star review on your podcasting platform of choice. Helps with the ratings there, help us to find more people to spread the lovely message of systematic ecology. If you want to know everything that we're doing, you can head over to Fourth Wall. You can become a member there, see where all our merchandise is too. You can also suggest future episode topic ideas to us. We love hearing you guys' suggestions and doing them. You know, if we have someone who knows the show or the game or whatever you have, we'd love to talk about it. We'd love to know what you guys want. I'd like to shout out some supporters real quick. Say thank you to Ethan Overcash, Austin, Amber Riley, and Jonathan Augustine. You guys are the best, but remember, we're all the chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Thank you all so much for your time listening to this episode. If you want to help sponsor our show, but you can't quite do the membership thing, commit to that once a month payment, good news, you can leave a donation on our Fourth Wall website. You also can get some free content over there. So if you don't have the money for the membership, but you still want to hear some of the extras and bonuses we do over on Fourth Wall, there's an option for that. If you want to support the show without that commitment every month, again, you can donate over there. Every little bit helps. You know, our show has a lot of needs when it comes to equipment, when it comes to going to some of the events we want to go to, advertising, getting the word out about our show. It takes a lot, and we really appreciate each and every person who's able to help us do it, even if it's something free, just like the free membership or leaving a rate and review on our site. Every little bit helps. Your time listening to this helps, and we appreciate all of you. We're so proud of the community we formed over at Systematic Ecology, and we're very happy and we're proud that you're a part of it. Thank you so much for your time and for being a part of this community.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Ecology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My seminary life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.